Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Thank you, Rhiannon. Well, we're moving on in our natural evangelism our preaching course, and we're thinking this morning about the power of story. So if we can have... And what Rhiannon read there was Paul giving his story, wasn't it? It was a kind of précis of the story of his life. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning about the power of story. Because whether we are young or old, we all know the power of a good story, don't we? Many of us will have memories of sitting on the carpet at primary school at the end of the day when the teacher would tell us a story. And I have it on good authority from my daughter, who's a teacher, that that still is the most magical part of any teacher's day. And stories aren't just a way of rounding up the day nicely, are they? They are much more profound than that. Whole civilizations exist around the power of storytelling. What we know about Australian Aboriginal people is that their whole view of the world and how it was made is around the power of storytelling. And of course, our own heritage and history comes from the power of storytelling all the way through the Old Testament and what we have inherited there. And most of what we know about the past, whatever civilization or nationality we come from, was first handed down in the form of a story, perhaps around a campfire or a stove. And the process of telling the story binds the hearers together in a shared experience and history. Stories of the past shape how we see ourselves as families, neighbourhoods, churches, and nations. When you come to lead a church, you hear the stories of what the church has been in the past. And that story gets shared around, doesn't it? So I think I've told you many times that when I knew I was coming here, my principal of Spurgeon's College said to me that I'm really glad you're going to Croxley Green Baptist Church. That is a church that has been a good church for a very long time. That was the story of Croxley Green Baptist Church. So we all have stories. And think of all the children who have been influenced and warned by stories. Influenced and warned about the perils of bad behaviour through the stories of Roald Dahl, as they shriek with delight at the thought of Augustus Gloop getting sucked up the chocolate tube, and marvel at the way a small girl called Matilda could outwit her neglectful and selfish parents. Story is powerful, isn't it? And there are so many ways we can hear stories these days. Books are still as popular as ever, despite what the techno wizard said would happen. And we can also hear our stories, can't we, on CDs or on catch-up on the radio. None of us get too old to not have pleasure at listening to a story, do we? And stories litter the sermons we hear and the journalism we read. We were at Soul Survivor with the young people last night, and Mike Pilavachi is a master of telling a story. And he illuminated two passages from the New Testament in a way that had, 300 teenagers rolling in the aisles in the way that only Mike Pilavachi can. And as one of them said to me on the way home, she said, "Could you not make the Bible a bit more like that at our church?" Well, I'm not Mike Pilavachi, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. But the power of story is really important, isn't it? I don't know if you ever listened to From Our Own Correspondent on Radio 4. I sometimes catch it as I'm driving around. And it's probably the best way, I think, to learn about a foreign country. Because what the journalists are set free to do is to tell the small story. And that you can tell that they've poured love and creativity into the way that they've crafted and written this thing in the way that they can't when they have to write a snippet for the news. And so you get this beautifully told story about something really small in someone's life, in the place in the world where they are stationed. And somehow that small story gives you such a better understanding of the big story of what is going on in that country. Stories like that tell us so much more. They stop us in our tracks and they tell us something about ourselves. I read a story once a few years back in one of John Ortberg's books. I don't know if you've ever read any of his books. They have very catchy titles. His probably most famous one is If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. But I think this one was in Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them, which was about pastoral care. If you haven't read his books, can I really commend them to you? He leads a big church in America, but his background is in psychology and he understands people, and they're great books and they're full of stories. I think that's why I like them. They're full of stories about the people he meets. And he tells this story about someone in his church and his childhood experience of school. And his name was Freddie. And so Freddie was a really difficult child in school, and his teacher, Mrs. May, did not take to him when they first met. In fact, he was naughty and disruptive, and she really didn't like him. But then Mrs. May found out that Freddie's mum was dying, and she started to see Freddie slightly differently and tried to help him with his work. And Freddie's behaviour started to change because Mrs. May was taking an interest. Well, during that school year, Freddie's mum died. And as Freddie's dad tried to cope with his young son and running the home and work, things started to get missed. And Freddie started to come to school looking a little scruffy and not smelling too great. And the other kids in the class were not kind. So Mrs. May tried hard to look out for Freddie. And on the last day of term before Christmas, all the kids brought in presents for Mrs. May. But when Freddie brought out a roughly wrapped half bottle of perfume and a broken bracelet, all the other kids in the class laughed. Mrs. May unwrapped the gift and immediately put on the perfume and the bracelet, saying to the class how much she loved it. When she thanked Freddie later as he left the class for the Christmas holidays, he told her that he wanted her to have his mother's perfume and jewellery so that she would look and smell just like her. She was the most important person in his life since his mum had died. Now, don't worry if you're all struggling with this, because I cried when I read it as well. Freddie struggled through the rest of school, and not all of his teachers were as kind as Mrs. May. But with a lot of hard work, he got through, and then he made it through to medical school. And on the day that he graduated, guess who was invited to watch? Mrs. May was there, wearing his mum's perfume and her bracelet. Now, this story is affecting, isn't it? It's a story which has its roots in fact. John Ortberg knew this guy. He was a really famous doctor in their town, and his life had literally been saved by this teacher who intervened and loved him. And it's done its fair share of rounds on the internet, and the names have changed and all of that. But it's a story which inspires us because it's a real and small story, and it tells us about how kindness and the value of a good teacher and the need for us to understand one another can literally change people's lives. It is a story of how one episode of kindness changed a whole relationship and the whole course of someone's life. Now, when Jesus wanted to make a profound point, he did not preach sermons. He told stories. He told stories of ordinary people facing ordinary problems, and sometimes about episodes of kindness that changed people's lives. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the lost sheep. So never underestimate the power of story. If it was good enough for Jesus, then why would it not be good enough for us? So what does my story have to say? Well, you should notice at least a couple of people in there that you know. That picture on the left is my family, or some of it. That cheeky little child smirking there is me when I was 5. And that's Alan and I down on the right. What does my story have to say? What parts of my story should I pick when I'm talking to someone I want to share my faith with? Well, sometimes you have to start with what they think they see. Now, my life, on the one hand, is a story of love and security. I'm a very privileged person. I grew up in a loving home, in a home where I was always taught about Jesus. But I have various stories in my life along the way, which might be useful in conveying something of the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. And I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me when I was that cheeky little 5-year-old child at school. I had a lovely teacher at the time who happened to be the wife of the minister at my parents' old church. And she was a lovely Christian lady, but my memory of her is that she could actually be quite strict and quite intimidating. And I had a friend in my class called IG. Now, IG had not long come to this country as a refugee from Nigeria. And my little 5-year-old heart ached for IG, as she didn't seem to have many of the normal things that I thought were essential for everyday life, like dollies and pencils and pens and Kit Kats at break times. And one day, IG, who, not surprisingly, was a little disruptive, having been moved from Africa to Nottingham, she got in real trouble at school for willfully breaking one of the school pencils. And my teacher was very cross and said that IG had to bring a pencil in from home to replace the one in the classroom. IG looked very upset, and my little 5-year-old brain was working overtime because I knew that that was not going to be straightforward for my friend. So that night when I got home and spoke to my mummy about it, I said that I had to bring in one of my pencils because I was worried that if IG did have a pencil at home, it would be very precious and I had plenty. And if she didn't bring one in, she would be in big trouble. So sure enough, the next day, IG did not have a replacement pencil. And so I went to talk quietly to my teacher and gave her my pencil. And I think I forgot all about it until later that week in assembly with the whole school that my teacher happened to be taking. And she was teaching the whole school about Easter and the sacrifice that Jesus had made on the cross. And much to my absolute horror, even my 5-year-old embarrassment, the illustration was a bit more pencil rather than penal substitutionary atonement. My teacher had been struck by a very ordinary and perhaps somewhat childish action, and of course it made a great story in terms of explaining what Jesus had done on the cross. Now, toe-curling as this story is in our new age of non-patriarchal attitudes, it says something about how I was brought up, and in certain circumstances it might be a useful illustration, even if it is only to show that I have always been a pathological problem solver and a bit of a have-a-saviour complex. Now, there are other stories I could tell about me that might tell a different tale. And the glossy pictures of my family don't tell the story of bereavement and loss and the people that aren't there in that picture. or the journey of forgiveness and acceptance that my family has been on in recent years. And yet in certain circumstances, these might be the stories that speak into someone else's experience. Because the thing about knowing what story to share is that you have to have listened to other people's stories first. And the most affirming thing we can do for anyone is to listen to their story. So much of what makes counselling so effective is that it gives broken and hurting people a space to tell their story. The truth and reconciliation process in South Africa that avoided so much bloodshed at the end of apartheid was an exercise in listening to each other's stories. So listen to people's stories. You will find it a fascinating experience. People are rarely dull and usually have something amazing to tell about themselves or their family if you will give them long enough to get it out. And Jesus didn't just tell stories, he listened to the stories of suffering from the people he healed. If you look at the stories of his healings, there is normally an episode of Jesus listening to that person, explaining what has been so wrong with their life up to that point. And that attention to their story was probably just as transformative as the healing itself. One of the great joys of both nursing and ministry is that you get to hear people's stories. And one of the lovely things about doing funerals is that you get to listen to the family stories of that person's life. That visit that you make before the funeral to meet with the family and to listen to the stories about that person is such a privilege, such a joy. And even if you've known that person for years, you always learn something new about them. Always hear something fresh and surprising. And when we have listened to people, and then, and only then, maybe we can share a story of our own. Not the story of our whole life, because no one wants to hear that, but this little snapshot, a bit like those things on Radio 4, a little snapshot of who we are and why our faith in God has made a difference. And this will most likely not be the stories that cover us in glory. Far more likely they will be the times that we have messed up and known forgiveness, or been broken and known love and support. They might be painful stories, but they are our stories, and only we can tell them. And if we are brave enough to share them, we will be amazed at how God will use them. So where does God's story come in? Well, perhaps we all need to relive his story a bit too, so that we can share it with others. Because just like the story of Freddie and Mrs. May, and to a certain extent me and my pencil, it is a story of kindness breaking in and changing things. God's story starts with us. The people he had created and loved, people that slowly and surely forgot about this creator God who loved to walk with them in the garden and share his thoughts. This gracious God found himself ignored and then completely sidelined. Not surprisingly, things for God's creation didn't go too well once they stopped having a relationship with the creator, and so God started his rescue plan to bring them back. He chose an old man and an old woman who were way past having children and promised to build a whole new nation out of them. And when that nation went astray, instead of being an example to the rest of the world and how to enjoy God, he sent many reluctant men and women to remind them who they were, how much he loved them, and how far they had strayed. And when that didn't work, he came himself, walking among ordinary people, telling stories involving donkeys, sheep, plants, coins, lamps. And after a 3-year career of storytelling and healing, those same people decided they had had enough stories and had him killed. But here's the twist in the tale. All of that was just the lead up to the big story with the best ending. Despite being killed by the people he had made and loved, this God came back in one last move of staggering kindness, which changed the whole situation. Refusing to be silenced in death, God had a better story to tell, where those disobedient and stubborn people get to enjoy the fruits of his victory at his expense. This is the story that we are all part of. This is the story that we are center stage of. This story can be all of our stories, no matter how bad we have been in the past. And this is where Paul's story is so important, isn't it? Paul's story was one of someone who had persecuted this very God who had come to save. This is someone who had had violence towards God, who had gone out of his way to kill off that early church. And yet, because of this act of staggering kindness, Paul was invited into a different story. We are all invited into that story. And yet, how will people know if we don't tell them? So what's your story? And what does it say about God and you? And how can your story help to invite others into God's story? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your story is our story. That your story is one of love and forgiveness and seeking us out. And that our story can be one of being invited in, being changed from the inside out, and knowing what it means to be part of your family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that part of your story is shared around the table that we will meet around now, and that that story invites us in every time. Be with us now as we worship and remember. In Jesus' name.